Do you have a terrible marriage? Here's Pastor Jeff Shreve.
So many people, they have a terrible marriage and a terrible family. They call themselves Christians. They proclaim the name of Christ. But there's some kind of a disconnect between what happens at church and what happens at home. And today we want to focus on the family. Because for such a time as this, we need to have homes where the walk matches the talk.
He can heal every scar with real truth, real love, real hope from his heart.
Every single Christian struggles with living the Christian life. But where you really see that come to the forefront is in the home. Why do you think that is? Well, it's because home is where the real you is free to be you. This is From His Heart, and today Pastor Jeff Shreve will take a close look at the book of Colossians as the Apostle Paul focuses on family relationships. And that's where we'll focus our study today in the message from Pastor Jeff called Focus on the Family. It's from the series Such a Time as This, How to Overcome the Darkness by Living in the Light. This 9-message series is our gift of thanks to you this month for your support from His Heart of any amount. And you can get it in the format of your choice. Just go online for more details at fromhisheart.org. Now, though, let's get started on this Thursday broadcast. Open your Bible to the book of Colossians, chapter 3, so Pastor Jeff Shreve can begin to help us focus on the family.
Question for today, what is God's plan for a great marriage and a happy family? And how can we do that? You do it by fulfilling your job as a husband, as a wife, as a mom, as a dad, and as a child in the home. So let's look, first of all, the first job, a husband's job. What's a husband's job? A husband's job is to love his wife. Verse 19 in the Amplified, I like the way the Amplified puts these verses. It says this, husbands, love your wives with an affectionate, sympathetic, selfless love that always seeks the best for them, and do not be embittered or resentful toward them. A husband is to love his wife. The word that's used, it's used 3 times in Ephesians 5, it's used once here. The word is agape, the highest kind of love, God's kind of love, the love that he has for us, the love that's unconditional. It says, husbands, love your wives with God's kind of love, with an unconditional love. Did you know what's interesting? In the scripture, you only find it one time, it's in the book of Titus, where a wife is to love her husband. And that love is not agape love, it's philandros love, which is a friendly kind of love. From Phila, which we get Philadelphia, the city of brotherly love. A wife is to see to it, and we're going to talk about this in a moment, that she respect her husband, but a husband is commanded by God over and over and over again to love his wife. That's her greatest need. Now, this was revolutionary in the time it was written because in the time it was written in the first century, a husband was king. He was despot, and his wife was almost like a piece of property, and he'd just do with her whatever he wanted, and there wasn't a lot of love there. In the Greek homes, the women weren't even allowed to eat at the same table as a man. And it was just very strange. So for them to hear this, that we're supposed to love our wives as Christ loved the church, wow. Wow, that is mind-blowing. But how do you do that, and what does that even look like? See, if we polled the guys today, the husbands today, and we asked them, hey, husband, do you love your wife? Well, every husband would raise his hand, especially the ones who have their wife here with them. They would say, yes, I love my wife, because if I say no, we're in real trouble. And so they would say yes. And most husbands would say, you know, I mean, do I love her? Yeah, I mean, I married her. I love her. But what does love really look like? John Bassanio, my friend, former pastor of First Baptist Church in Houston, he wrote a book that says, love is something that you do. Love is an action verb. Love is not just, well, I love you. Love has action to it. So I want you to notice, first of all, that love is expressed, a husband to a wife, through nourishing and cherishing. That's what Paul says in Ephesians. that a husband is to love his wife as he loves his own body. He said, no one ever hated his own flesh. What does he do to his own flesh? He nourishes his own flesh and cherishes his own flesh. That's what he's supposed to do with his wife. Nourish is a feeding word. It's a providing word. And cherish is a warming word. It's a protective word. It's a precious kind of word. And that's good for a husband to do. I provide for Debbie and I feed Debbie and I provide the soil in which she can grow, but then I'm very protective of her and I cherish her. She is special and she needs lots of attention. And if she doesn't get it, she doesn't like it. If other things are more important than she is, she feels it. And you know how she responds? She responds with disrespect. Because a woman needs to feel nourished and cherished. So love is expressed that way, and love is expressed through sweetness and forgiveness. He says that husbands, love your wives and do not be embittered against them. That word embittered means to be sharp, to be piercing, to be angry and indignant and irritated with her. Now, why would a husband get like that toward his wife? It often comes in the area of unfulfilled expectations. You know, a husband goes into marriage, you know what his expectation is? His expectation is that she is going to meet my needs. She is going to be this wonderful wife to me, and we're gonna have a wonderful love life. That's his expectation. I mean, he just thinks that, you know, once we're married, then man, it's Katie bar the door. And so many men, they think, you know, they're in marriage for 6 months, a year, 2 years, and they're starting to wonder who poisoned the wedding cake? What happened here? Because all of a sudden, she's not as interested in me physically like she used to be. And what we do as men is we get kind of frustrated with that, and we don't talk it out. What we do is we just kind of start dishing out some barbs toward our wives. Thinking that that's going to really woo her. That doesn't work very well, right? But we have trouble speaking about these things. Here it is for, I learned this from my pastor in Austin when I was in college, Harold O. Chester. He said, you know, sex is a misdemeanor. The longer he misses it, the meaner he gets. And that is really, really true. And so here it is. Here's how it is for most couples. It's nighttime and they're in bed together and the lights are off and the husband is thinking, man, I can't sleep. I wonder if she can't sleep. I hope she can't sleep. I wonder if she knows I'm over here. So what does he do? He doesn't talk to her. He just kind of reaches his foot over. You know, it's just kind of like tap, tap, tap. Hello, it's me. You know, that kind of thing. We go Adele on her, and she doesn't know what you're talking about. All she says to you is, get your foot off me, it's cold. And we feel shut down, and we're like, oh, great. You know, she's not interested yet again, and we can get frustrated, and we can get angry, and we can let the sun go down on our anger, which the scripture says, don't do that. And then you get resentful toward her, and you can get bitter toward her. Don't do that. Don't do that. Forgiveness means to let it go. Let it go. As we talk through things with our wives, especially guys, with those things that are important to us that we have trouble verbalizing, we need to break down those communication barriers and say, listen, I have a need, wife, and you could really help me with this. And it will help the home to go sweeter and to be sweeter. Love is expressed through sweetness and forgiveness. That's a husband's job to his wife. Secondly, a wife's job. A wife's job is to let her husband lead her. Look at verse 18. Wives, be subject to your husbands as is fitting in the Lord. That's what a wife is to do. She is to put herself under him. Hupotasso is the word that means to subject to your husband. That means to rank under. Doesn't mean you're inferior. Do you know who put himself under submission to the authority structure that the Father had put in his life? Jesus. The scripture says that Jesus, when they returned from the temple when he was 12 years old, he put himself in subjection to his mother and his dad. Was he inferior to his mother and his father? No, Jesus is the Son of God and God the Son. He's inferior to no one. but he put himself under. And a wife is to do that, to rank herself under. Now, it's important for a woman to remember this, a wife to remember this, that she is to be her husband's helper, not his leader. That's why God made woman. That's why he made Eve. He says in Genesis chapter 2, it's not good for the man to be alone. I'll make a helper suitable to him. And he made Eve. She was his helper. You say, I don't like the idea of being called a helper. That just seems so demeaning. But you know who's called a helper in the Bible? The Holy Spirit. You think that's a demeaning term? That's what Jesus calls the Holy Spirit. He's the helper. God will send you another just like me, who will be your helper. And so a wife has an elevated position as helper, and she is to help her husband as he works through life. Now, if the wife becomes the leader in the home becomes dysfunctional, because that's not the way God designed it. God designed the home to be led by the husband, and the wife is to follow his lead. She is to rank herself under the husband, and the two together become a team. They set up team family. The husband is the head coach, and the wife is the assistant coach. And if that gets flip-flopped, then the dysfunction sets in. That's not the way God set it up. And many women bemoan the fact that their husbands don't lead. And so they look at it like this. You're driving in a car, and the husband's supposed to be the designated driver, the head coach, the head, and he's not driving. He's not steering. And so the wife is there in the passenger seat, and she sees, hey, nobody's driving here. Nobody's leading here. And so I can't let us crash, so I'm going to go over here, and I'm going to get the wheel, and I'm going to keep us from crashing. You're not supposed to do that. Why? Because if you do that and you have a passive husband, what does he do? He says, well, great, you're driving. I'll go in the back seat and play video games. I'll go read the paper. I'll go do something else. So you're supposed to, as a woman who is trusting the Lord and is saying, I'm going to be the person God wants me to be, you're supposed to say, there's no one driving. He's not driving. God, we're going to crash unless he drives. But you told me I'm not supposed to drive, so I'm going to trust you that you're going to put it on him to get in the driver's seat. And if you won't fill that void, God, you allow God to work in his heart so he sees, I got to drive. She's not going to drive. It's not your place to drive. You're the helper. You're not the leader. So a wife is to yield to his leadership, and a wife is to meet his greatest need. And what's a husband's greatest need? Respect. Ephesians 5:33, let the wife see to it that she respect her husband. That's what he needs. You need love. That's why God says four times, love your wives, love your wives, love your wives, love your wives. And he needs respect. And so the Lord says, respect him, respect him. And here's what's really interesting. You know, when it talks about family relationships in Colossians and in Ephesians, it speaks of the wife submitting before it talks about the husband loving. And here's why. Because 1 Peter chapter 3 says, if any of you women have a husband who is disobedient to the word, you can win him without a word as he observes your chaste and respectful behavior. Your respect for him will do such a work in his heart that will cause him to love you, to want to please God, to want to follow the Lord, to want to show love to you. A wife is to a husband what a wind is to a fire. You can fan him up, or you can blow him out with your words, with your actions. Some women, they don't realize it. Man, they're so demeaning to their husbands, and they don't realize what's coming out of their mouths, but he is taking it in. The scripture says that the woman who shames her husband, she becomes rottenness in his bones. He doesn't want to be around her. Why? Because his greatest need is respect. And every time he comes home, every time he's around you, he's feeling disrespect from you. And he doesn't want to be around that. You make him very vulnerable to want to be with somebody else. So a husband's job to love his wife, a wife's job to let her husband lead her. Number three, a parent's job. He talks about the marriage relationship, and then he talks about kids. A parent's job is to raise his children wisely. Look what Colossians 3:21 says in the Amplified. Fathers, and that word fathers, it could be either one. It's to parents. Do not provoke or irritate or exasperate your children with demands that are trivial or unreasonable or humiliating or abusive, nor by favoritism or indifference. Treat them tenderly with loving kindness so that they will not lose heart and become discouraged or unmotivated with their spirits broken. Wow. That's really well worded. A parent's job is to raise his son, his daughter, in a wise way, in a godly way. Now listen, some kids are hard to raise. Anybody say amen to that? You can have some compliant children that are easy to raise. I mean, you just give them a stare and they start crying. And then you have some other ones that, you know, so you can have a tough-willed child. I think it was Dr. Dobson that wrote that book, The Strong-Willed Child. That's a harder thing. Sometimes you have parents that they are blessed with a very compliant child, and they're like, ah, this parenting is a piece of cake. And then they have baby number two. It's like, whoa, wow, if we'd had this one first, we wouldn't have had a second one. Because it's difficult when you have a strong-willed child. What do you need as a parent? You need to give your child what they need, and they need lots of love and appropriate discipline. Lots of love and appropriate discipline, which really equates most of the time to lots of discipline. Foolishness, the Bible says in the book of Proverbs, is bound up in the heart of a child, but the rod of discipline will remove it far from him. And that parent loves his child, but he also has rules for his child. And kids thrive in that environment. Hey, a parent's job is to raise his children wisely. And children need to be properly built up, not angrily torn down. Watch what comes out of your mouth with your kids, because they can lose heart. If you're that authoritative parent that's low on love but high on discipline, man, your kids just after a while, they just give up. They say, what's the use? You know what every kid needs? Every kid needs this from mom and dad, and especially from dad. I love you. I'm proud of you. And you're good at blank, whatever it is. The father said to the son when he began his ministry, this is my beloved son in whom I'm well pleased. Listen to him because he's good. I love you, son. I'm proud of you, son. I'm so pleased in you, and you're good. And I want people to listen to you. Why? Because you're good. And if Jesus needed that from his father, how much more do our children need that from us? A parent's job is to raise his children wisely. And lastly, a child's job is to obey his parents. Colossians 3:20 in the Amplified, children, obey your parents as God's representative in all things, for this attitude of respect and obedience is well-pleasing to the Lord and will bring you God's promised blessing. Obedience. So you're sitting here and you say, well, I'm a kid. What do I do in the home? You obey your parents. If you're living in the home, you obey their parents. How long are you a kid? Well, you're a kid as long as you're living in their home. When you're out on your own, then you honor your parents, but you don't necessarily have to obey your parents in all things. But when you're living under their roof, then you have to obey them. And failure to comply with this command from the Lord is serious business. In the Old Testament, book of Deuteronomy, the scripture says, if you have a son or a daughter who won't obey, and you try and try and they won't obey, then you take them before the elders of the city and say, this son of mine won't obey. He won't do what we say, no matter how much we try. And the scripture says, then you take that kid and you stone him with stones. You say, good night, that's in the Bible? Yeah, but it wasn't ever practiced. You know what else is in the Bible? Jesus said, if your hand offends, you cut it off. If your eye offends, you pluck it out. Does anybody do that? No, we know that he's speaking in hyperbole. The Lord wasn't saying, hey, you need to start killing your kids. What he was saying is, hey, kids, you need to know that rebellion toward your parents is serious business, serious business. And you need to obey your parents in the Lord. Why? For this is right. It's a serious offense to not obey, but willingness to comply pleases God. This is well-pleasing to the Lord when kids obey their parents. Now, it's in the Lord. If your parents say, hey, kid, I want you to go steal for me, you don't do that. Wife, you obey your husband as long as it's in the Lord. If he asks you to do something that is a violation of Scripture, you don't do that. And men, we're never to ask our wives or our kids to do something that would be in disagreement with the Word of God. But as we do our jobs, each one of us, That's what builds a happy home. That's what builds a loving home. You know, we stand before God one day. I'm going to stand before God one day. And you know what God's not going to ask me? Jeff, how well did Debbie submit to you? That's not what he's going to ask me. He said, Jeff, your job description was to love Debbie, to love her, to nourish her, to cherish her, to love her as Christ loved the church. How well did you do that? Oh, but God, she didn't do this, 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 and this. He's like, I know, but let's work on you, because I have to give an account for my job description. She has to give an account for her job description. Kids have to give an account for their job description. And you say, but I'm not able to do these things that the Lord asked me to do. Bingo. You're not, I'm not, Paul wasn't, no one is. Only Jesus is. That's why in Ephesians, before it talks about family relationships, it says, and do not get drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. That's why in Colossians, it tells us, as those who have been chosen of God, holy and beloved, put on a heart of compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience, and lay aside the old things and put on the new. You can't do it. I can't do it. Only He can do it. And if we yield ourselves to the Lord, He can turn the most dysfunctional home into the greatest blessing this side of heaven.
You're listening to From His Heart with Pastor Jeff Shreve today. So, how about your family? Is it the greatest blessing this side of heaven? Perhaps you know that you are a believer in Christ, that Jesus is indeed the Lord and Savior of your life, but your sin has caused you some friction at home. Well, that's not God's will for you or your home. Perhaps today's message has convicted you to make a change, to confess your sin and surrender your life to walking by the power of the Holy Spirit. Or maybe you know that right now, at this very moment, that you're not a child of God, but you want to be. God is speaking to you, but waiting on you to surrender to Him through repentance and faith. He promises to forgive you for now and for forever. And when He does, your life and your home will never be the same. What a great blessing and comfort that is, knowing that we are part of the family of God and that He can help us to begin focusing on our own families. If you'd like to know more about how you can surrender your life to Christ, you can go to fromhisheart.org, click the Why Jesus link on our homepage. You'll find some free materials there to download and some specific messages from Pastor Jeff that we pray will be a blessing to you. We also hope that today's message has blessed you and the countless numbers of people who have or will hear this lesson today. These broadcasts are made possible through God's provision to From His Heart through those who listen and want to participate in this command of God to share the bright light of the good news to the saved and unsaved alike. In the New Testament, Luke tells us in Acts chapter 13, verse 47, "For so the Lord commanded us, I have set you as a light to the Gentiles, that you should be for my salvation to the ends of the earth." It's God's plan that we would be the mouthpiece to share the peace of God found only in Christ. This month, when you help us with your gift of any amount, we'd like to say thank you by sending you Pastor Jeff's new 9-message series, For Such a Time as This, How to Overcome the Darkness by Living in the Light. Today's message, called Focus on the Family, is from this series. To get yours, you can make your secure gift online at fromhisheart.org or call 866-40-BIBLE, 866-40-BIBLE. Right now, though, we want to thank you for joining us today on radio, and we trust that you'll be here tomorrow, when Pastor Jeff Shreve will continue with a message from his series, For Such a Time as This. Be here then, when we learn how to share our faith and pass the salt. That's Friday, here on From His Heart. From His Heart is the listener-supported broadcast ministry of Dr. Jeff Shreve, speaking the truth in love to a lost and a hurting world. Remember, no matter what, God loves you and has a wonderful plan for your life. Find out more about that when you go to FromHisHeart.org.